Hello everyone, my name is Uldar. Welcome to another episode of Ask Me About North Korea, a podcast about the most reclusive country in the world. In this podcast, I'm answering the most widespread questions about North Korean politics, society, and culture, in a short and concise manner, based on factual evidence. If you like this podcast, I would be grateful if you could share it with your friends, leave a positive review, make a donation, or subscribe. You can also visit the podcast website, www.askmeaboutdprk.wordpress.com. There you can access episode transcripts, as well as some other materials, such as book reviews, film recommendations, and online events. As the name of the podcast suggests, please feel free to ask me questions in your comments and reviews. I will do my best to answer them in the next episodes. And now, let's start. So, one of the reasons why I thought it would be a good idea to make this episode is because there has been quite a bit of speculation about Kim Jong-un's health in the mass media over the past year. And that speculation has arisen not without a good reason. Kim Jong-un has disappeared several times from the public eye in the course of 2020 and 2021, with both experts and media watchers wondering whether the North Korean leader is suffering from some sort of systemic health issues that could potentially be fatal. It is exactly for this reason why, in this episode, I wanted to talk about the possibility of Kim Jong-un's sudden death and its political ramifications. Let's first start with Kim's personal health profile. Why all the fuss about him possibly dying? Well, Kim Jong-un has struggled with various health conditions, with most observers attributing it to his weight and lifestyle. First and foremost, he is a very heavy smoker. Starting from the very first days of his reign, he has been photographed smoking on so many occasions that he has even informally established an entire culture of imitating the supreme leader's smoking habits. Indeed, so as to look cool, North Korean men are hectically trying to buy that one specific brand of cigarettes that Kim Jong-un is always smoking. Allegedly, he's also drinking a lot, however, that is hard to confirm, but it could be inferred from the inner circle reports and comments of Kim Jong-un's notorious friend, Dennis Rodman. Secondly, Kim Jong-un is a diabetic, which has also significantly contributed to his increases in weight from 2011 to 2020. According to South Korea's national intelligence, as quoted by NK News, Kim weighed around 140 kilos in 2020 and had gained an average of 6 to 7 kilos per year since coming to power in late 2011. The trend has stopped only recently, with Kim suddenly losing a significant amount of weight in July 2021. Thirdly, the weight issues have also been causing additional superficial health problems relating to his ankle and legs, as well as some other problems cardiac in nature. Kim Jong-un has suffered from hypertension ever since the early 2000s, and that might run in his family. His father, Kim Jong-il, allegedly died from a heart attack in December 2011. Furthermore, he has experienced movement problems in the fall of 2014 when the state media reported that the supreme leader was suffering from an uncomfortable physical condition. That was also when Kim Jong-un had been seen limping and disappeared for a couple of weeks, only to reappear with a walking stick. Such incidents are not rare. A similar episode happened in April 2020, when Kim Jong-un was not seen in public for 20 days, reappearing for the celebration of the Labor Day. Rumors about a critical illness, or even his death, followed almost immediately because Kim Jong-un had missed the most crucial of all North Korean public holidays, the Day of the Sun, or his grandfather's birthday. Another example from 2021. This summer, following a one-month-long absence from the public eye, outside observers have noted that Kim Jong-un has experienced significant weight loss. A mysterious bandage also appeared on the back of his head. Finally, and most unprecedentedly, a state TV channel showed a very short interview with an unnamed citizen who said that the North Korean people were in tears over their leader's emaciated appearance. What does this mean? The reason why this hustle around Kim's health is so important is because the health issues of the previous leaders had never been discussed in public. Kim Il-sung, as he aged, developed a calcium deposit growth on the right side of the back of his neck, which he did not want to remove. Due to its rather unappealing nature, North Korean media were ordered to photograph Kim Il-sung while standing slightly to his left in order to hide the growth from official photographs and newsreels. Considering that, the current signs and North Korean media messages about Kim Jong-un's health, as well as the fact that he is disappearing more and more regularly, well, that is all particularly interesting. I personally think that they should be interpreted together with the most recent political changes in North Korea. Together, they might suggest that North Korean elites are preparing for the possibility of Kim Jong-un's sudden death or long-term incapacitation. So, what would happen if Kim Jong-un dies? Well, we would definitely not find out about it immediately. That much I can say based on the previous experience with Kim Jong-il and Kim Il-sung. Considering the tightly shut nature of the North Korean regime, we are unlikely to find out anything until there is an official statement from the state media. Some signs might also come early as the result of the South Korean or American intelligence activities. Anyway, as soon as the announcement is made, the country is guaranteed to drown in theatrical political mourning. However, the internal political ramifications of this event would be enormous and not theatrical at all. Kim Jong-un's death would be a huge shock for the North Korean political system, even if compared to Kim Il-sung or Kim Jong-il's death. Why? Well, unlike his father or grandfather, Kim Jong-un does not have a clearly designated successor. There have been some interesting political rearrangements in the DPRK recently, though. Since Kim Jong-un's death or incapacitation will be a serious political shock, the elites are already preparing for it right now, and we could already envisage some political ramifications. Earlier this year, the North Korean government made an unprecedented step and created an institutional mechanism for the transfer of power. Specifically, the 8th Congress of the Ruling Workers' Party of Korea in January introduced the new position of First Secretary, which acts as Kim Jong-un's first deputy. Theoretically, the First Secretary can automatically and immediately replace Kim if something happens to him. The trick is that the position remains empty for now. So, who are the potential successors? Well, you're probably thinking, he'll say, there is no clear answer to that, and I will. People speculate that Kim Yo-jong, Kim Jong-un's sister, could occupy the position. Unfortunately for Kim Yo-jong, she's a female in a very toxically masculine system, which makes her a highly unlikely successor. As for Kim Jong-un's children, those are too small for governing a super autocratic police state. Plus, they've never been seen in the public eyes in the first place. Another possible successor is Kim Pyong-il, who is a half-brother of the former leader of North Korea, Kim Jong-il. Theoretically, it could also be a high-level military official like Ri Pyeong-chul, since we are talking about such a military society like North Korea. The problem is that any such military official will never be seen as a proper supreme leader because he is not a member of the ruling Kim dynasty. If you ask me, though, a more likely scenario will be some form of temporary collective rule. The evidence draws us in that direction also because the changes that were made to the ruling party's rulebook have largely been centered around the concept of collective party leadership. Particularly interesting is the change to the rules that enables any member of the Politburo Permanent Committee, the country's highest executive body, to preside over Politburo meetings if authorized by the General Secretary, that is, Kim Jong-un. The Politburo also received additional politically administrative functions after this last round of rulebook revision. Naturally, infighting between internal factions of the North Korean government might go on in the background, but not too actively, because the elites know that if they flip the boat, they are all gunners. They know that if the North Korean system collapses, all of them would be either executed by their own people or sentenced for life by the South Korean courts as the result of the human rights violations that they had committed in the past. These things considered, if Kim Jong-un's health suddenly failed, I would say that a Kim dynasty member like Kim Yo-jong or Kim Pyong-il could become the temporary face of the Workers' Party while the Politburo becomes the real center of political decision-making, similar to China of the 1990s and 2000s. That said, this political transition to collective rule will be unprecedented for North Korea, even though the elites will have a strong stimulus to stick together. Geopolitically, Kim Jong-un's death is very unlikely to trigger some sort of proactive foreign policy actions on the side of the major geopolitical powers involved in the region, that is, the United States, China, South Korea, Russia, and Japan. One of the most immediate consequences is most likely going to be a serious increase in these countries' military alert level. Attempts at the regime change on the side of the United States are rather unlikely, since both the Democratic and Republican mainstream in Washington have largely given up on that foreign policy concept's application to North Korea. Although some American hawks might still be tempted by this moment of North Korea's vulnerability. The only proactive action or interference might happen in the case of massive political destabilization in North Korea, such as, for example, civil war. It will most likely involve South Korea and China. A civil war in a country with nuclear warheads in such a densely populated region is not something that anyone would like to happen. Thus, the two options might be that the Chinese will likely orchestrate a coup and put in place some puppet government, or that the South Koreans will invade the North and occupy it. Yet, both scenarios are fortunately in more of a fantasy realm today. Due to the resilience of the North Korean political system, I do believe that this turn of events is extremely unlikely, as I had previously explained in episode 18. What is your take on this question, though? What do you think happens if Kim Jong-un dies? Leave your opinion in the comments below or in the review section. If you like this episode, please leave a positive review on the podcast platform like Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts. Subscribe to the podcast or make a donation on my website, www.askmeabouttprk.wordpress.com. Also, feel free to provide your feedback on this episode's quality and ask any questions about North Korea that you might have. Thank you for listening, stay healthy, and stay tuned.